Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, April 1st, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
I have a new iPad Pro, parentheses, 9.7 inch, close parentheses. So I'm doing pretty good.
Pro 9. That's awesome. And you have an Apple Pencil.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I've already made several really, really bad drawings.
Oh, I can't wait to see them. I love your drawings. I really do. John Bartolaro, how are you?
Hi. Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Well, thank you.
And it just occurred to me, I've never seen any of your drawings, so I can't pass judgment and let you know what I think.
I'm not a very good artist. Unlike many gifted scientists, I have no artistic talent.
I couldn't draw my way out of a wet paper bag, John, so I'm right there with you.
But, Brian, I do love your art.
Shush you.
Yeah. Hey, I'll change the subject so you don't feel awkward. We have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Bushel. And I'm really glad that they are our sponsor today. I'll be talking about them soon. But before we get to that, John, you wrote a piece yesterday that I think we need to explore. And in your piece, you say that you think it's time for Apple to start offering a Mac bundle where Windows is included as part of your Mac purchase.
What got me started on this actually was a discussion with my lovely wife, who is a college professor. And at her college, they don't have a lot of money. They don't have students who can afford a lot of equipment, nor can the college afford a lot of equipment. And so this multiple operating system thing is kind of dicey, especially when you're trying to teach Unix and you need a machine that the students can log on to and use Unix. They may have a PC notebook. They may have a Mac notebook. There's a lot of things you can do with teaching Unix on a Mac because you can open up a terminal window and access the BSD layer. But not all the students have Macs, and so it's a struggle to kind of, you know, get stuff installed and buy things for free. And my wife went through a phase where she was trying to get some Linux installations installed in VirtualBox so that the students would have a free implementation of Linux. But it turns out that VirtualBox works really well with Windows, but it doesn't work so well with Linux. So we had a long discussion about that. And then the other day, I saw that Microsoft announced that later this year, they're going to include the Ubuntu Linux subsystem in Windows 10. You'll actually be able to, in addition to running commands on the command line and writing shells, you'll be able to actually run Ubuntu binaries in Windows 10. And I thought, well, you know, this is going to be great for her students. This kind of hybridization is great because students with Windows notebooks are going to be able to some extent, learn some Unix on their notebooks. And then I thought, well, you know, with the PC war is over, maybe it's time for Apple to think different and go beyond just the simple idea that you can go out and buy Parallels or VMware Fusion and then acquire a copy of Windows and install it as a virtual machine at your own expense, which is awkward sometimes, technically challenging for some, and expensive because you have to pay a full price unless you're a student. So then we were sitting there and we're going, you know, wouldn't it be cool if Apple sold some Macs with Windows pre-installed, say in a virtual machine system, probably VMware Fusion or Parallels Desktop. Apple could work a deal with both of those companies and say, hey, we'd like to sell selected Macs with this. Can we get a volume discount? And then it would come as a special edition version of the Mac, and you pay hopefully maybe only $50 more, you know, for the two software products that are added. And then you get a little card in the box that says, you know, thank you for buying this special edition Macintosh. Windows has been pre-installed. If you have any troubles, call us at Microsoft and we'll help you. And for those people who are students, businessmen, maybe government people who'd like to have a Macintosh, be able to run multiple operating systems, think about it. You could be running Mac and Windows and Ubuntu Linux all on the same machine for zero cost over and above the, you know, purchase price of the original Mac. And a program like Parallels Virtual Machine allows you to put Windows applications in the Mac OS X dock. And you just click it, and that Windows app runs on your Mac's desktop, and you get to work. And this could be great for students, great for businessmen, and it might boost Macintosh sales. You know, PC sales have been declining for quite a while. There are a few people who are not real happy with the build quality of a lot of inexpensive notebook PCs, and they're raced to the bottom. Macs are really nice machines. They last for a long time, and it'd be nice to go into the store and say, hey, honey, look, you can run your Windows apps on the Mac. I can run my Mac apps on the Mac, and it's only $50 more. Let's buy that one. And I think Apple could take a bite out of the PC industry, make its customers very happy. The PC wars are over, so Apple doesn't have to worry about the struggle against Microsoft anymore, because 65% of Apple's revenue comes from iPhones and another 5 or 10% from iPads. And so Apple's not desperate anymore to keep Windows at arm's length and grudgingly accept it, you know, in a virtual machine. So this would be a boon for customers, I think, and it would probably ignite Apple sales. I don't know how many more, but I think it would be a nice addition to the Mac sales every quarter.
Right. Where do I start? Where do I start with this?
Wait. You didn't warn me this was coming. I thought Brian was going to go, cool, John, you're so analytical and objective about this, but I guess I should brace myself for the storm.
Well, you are, first of all, cool, and you are analytical about almost everything. However, sometimes you are also wrong.
And this is one of those times, right?
In this case, let me start with the premise that because Microsoft has embraced Ubuntu, it's time for Apple to embrace Windows. By that logic, if Microsoft were going to jump off a cliff, would you go jump off a cliff too?
No, the way I phrased it in the article was bold and amazing move by Microsoft under Satya Nadella. Suddenly the company woke up and got smart. Why can't Apple do the same thing?
Yeah, well, okay, great. So I look forward to also getting some adware versions of OS X and having, toaster oven Macs.
No, you wouldn't have the adware stuff installed on the Mac. Apple wouldn't let Microsoft do that in that installation. It's for the PC makers to make revenue.
That's not what I mean. I mean, if you really want to argue that that Microsoft is leading the way here, then down that path lies.
No, I'm not saying they're leading the way. I'm saying that they're doing it for smart, aggressive technical reasons to reach out to new customers. Apple could make a lot of customers happy too.
Okay, fine. So you're saying that they're leading the way and that Apple should follow, but that's okay.
I'm saying if Microsoft should be smart and aggressive and understand the benefits, why should Apple be, you know, still fighting the Klingons?
Well, the reason there are many reasons for Apple to do this. I think it would actually make more sense, for instance, for Apple to further embrace Bootcamp and sell Macs with Bootcamp installations with Windows.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the article. Bootcamp is kind of awkward. You have to be in one mode or the other, and you can't do cool things like sharing data in real time and dragging and dropping files between the two operating systems and having Windows binaries in your OS X dock being clickable. I've never really found dual boot to be very helpful because it's you're always wishing you were in the other system and you can't interoperate. In my view.
Yeah, okay.
So, John, is it possible that Microsoft is doing this not because it's this bold, innovative move, but because they're looking at the way people are using their computers and realized that they're not going to be able to sustain their sales unless they do something to make Windows more enticing.
Well, they've sold 275 million Windows 10 licenses, right? So I don't think Microsoft is really too stressed out about that. I mean, Microsoft is aware that Windows can't be the end all and be all, Balmerized, and you know, Windows forever, and developers, and ignore everybody else. Satya Nadella is much too sharp for that. But I think what it does do is it creates a sense of excitement and respect for the company, and appeals to users who live in both worlds and don't want to go out and buy a Linux box and fuss with it. And it's just smart all around for lots of reasons.
Well, I don't think that Windows sales are as high as Microsoft says they are. Now, they're not lying, but they are inflated in that a lot of the sales that Microsoft counts for Windows, they are bulk licenses where, in many cases, Windows is never going to be installed. Like if you are buying bulk license of Office, then you're also buying bulk license of Windows to go along with it, even if you're not going to use those Windows license.
Well, then all the more reason to get real money from Apple for a real installation on a Macintosh. Right?
Yeah. So here's my real problem, John. My real problem is that there's no significant need for this. People aren't clamoring for this. People aren't saying, God, you know, I'd buy a Mac if only I could run Windows.
And they do. They go out and they buy Parallels. Parallels is doing a booming business.
Yes, but it's not stopping people from buying a Mac. People go out and buy Parallels.
Yeah, but what's cool about this is that you don't have to go out and buy Parallels, find it, download it, install it, track your license, then go acquire a copy of Windows, download it, install it. And it's out of the box. It solves a big problem.
Well, but okay, it makes something more convenient, but that's not that. There's not an underlying problem there to begin with, because people who are doing this are doing this.
Well,
you're adding to this another layer of Apple needing to now support this as well.
Well, I talked to John Uppendahl, the vice president of Parallels, yesterday, and he said that's a great idea. If they came to us and said we want to buy a million licenses for Parallels every quarter for our Macintoshes, I would be all over it. I don't want to speak for John, but I did do some due diligence here and checked with at least one vice president to see what he thought of the idea, and he was very positive.
Oh, duh. Of course he was. He should be. I mean, that would be a great idea for Parallels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think Apple has any particular need for this, and the idea of Apple wanting to sell more Mac hardware for people to run Windows kind of runs contrary to everything that Apple does.
There are so many students and businessmen who need to live in both worlds, and there are so many institutions and universities that are still very PC-centric, and there are still so many business endeavors and academic endeavors where students need to be able to run Windows. And there's stories or legends of students who, you know, get ready for college and they buy a new MacBook Air and they take it to school and they say, well, we only support PCs and you need to have Office installed and you know, and you know, we don't like Macs on our network. And there are a lot of students who are in college, they're using Macs, but there's also a lot of them who are still required to use Windows for certain purposes. And having the ability to run certain Windows applications for business and education is a very nice thing. And students struggle with that. They have to figure out what machine they're going to buy and what's going to help them in there.
All right, hold on, John. I got a phone call here. 2004 called and wants its reality back.
I know what my wife tells me because she's a current day professor.
So I concede to you that there is a group of people for whom this could be a good thing. The reason why this sticks in my craw is that it doesn't solve any problems for Apple. And not only does it not solve any problems for Apple, I don't see Apple truly selling more hardware because of this. And I also don't think that if Apple goes down the road of becoming a hardware vendor where the operating system doesn't matter, well, then we're not even talking about Apple anymore. You know, so like the whole thing doesn't solve anything for Apple, and I don't even think it solves enough problems for enough people to matter.
It's hard to quantify how many extra Macs they would sell. That's kind of nebulous, and I didn't try to get into any analytics on that. So that would be a sort of like, you know, non-quantitative part of the argument.
The reality is
that there's a big problem coming, and that is if Apple switches to ARM processors in their MacBooks, as has been rumored, then you couldn't run Intel binaries anymore. So that could come into play too, but that's secondary.
But the reality, I love Parallels, and they do such a great job. I think that this is an area where a third party, or there's actually, of course, multiple third parties, but Parallels is my favorite. The third parties solve these problems just fine. Thank you. Third party being Parallels.
My assumption, knowing Apple, is that what they're doing is watching very closely how people are using Macs. And I think if Apple saw a significant number of people needing a solution that they are not currently providing, then they would look into making that solution happen. But since we don't see anything from Apple right now other than boot camp, it doesn't look like Apple's seeing any value in offering up a solution like you're suggesting, John.
Well, you know, it was a thought experiment. I in the opening paragraph of the article, I said, yeah, I'm thinking about this idea. I present it as food for thought. It's probably something Apple wouldn't do, but I thought it was such a keen idea, and I saw the inspiration from Microsoft and the discussion with my wife that I just had to vent.
Inspiration from Microsoft. Boy, that makes me want to vent.
Well, you know, I'm enthusiastic about Microsoft these days. I like their products. I like their CEO. I like their thinking. I like the Surface. I like this idea of adding Unix to their Windows 10 system. I like the recovery, the graceful recovery, a semi-graceful recovery from Windows 8. Microsoft got a clue and recovered from the disaster of Windows 8. Windows 10 is much more widely embraced. I think it's got 20% of the market now, whereas Windows 8 never got higher than about 8% of the market.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. John Martellaro thinks that Microsoft is the bee's knees and that they're Windows is the future.
I think they're doing better. I like Satya Nadella. I didn't care for the leadership of Steve Ballmer.
Wow. I can't believe you're going to let that pass.
Just wow. No, I was actually reading comments to John's article. And there's kind of a theme here, John. Like Bermayank says, it seems to me a hopelessly bad idea. And I could go on because he actually wrote a lot more. GUI Ducks.
Well, the context is that Apple. Let me finish this sentence. His sentence finishes with Apple would be responsible for associated problems with Windows. And I think you could address that problem by putting a card in there from Microsoft saying, look, thank you for buying this Mac with Windows installed. If you have any problems, call us.
That doesn't address anything. It didn't really. Since when does Apple hand off support for its whole widget products to other companies? It's like, I mean, it's not even, okay. It's on,
yeah. Well, they do with every app that is sold for the Mac. Right? Yeah. I mean, if you have a favorite Mac application, like 1Password, and you have a problem with it, do you call Apple?
Well, what, does 1Password come bundled with the Mac? No, I mean, Apple doesn't do that. Apple is like, remember, that's one of the things that Apple did is they stopped bundling third-party apps. Well, unlike Microsoft.
I will admit that's a good argument. I'll let you score one on the blackboard there.
John, you are so generous.
John is the gentleman. He is the gentleman scholar.
He is, and as much as I'm enjoying this debate, we have run out of time, and I want to tell people about our sponsor. So I need to do that. And our sponsor,
Go for it.
Oh yeah, I'm totally going for it. Our sponsor is Bushel. Oh, and by the way, thank you for permission to carry on. I do appreciate that.
Very welcome.
Our sponsor is Bushel, and they're the people that make this really great web-based mobile device management platform. And what that does is it lets you take all of your iOS devices, you know, your iPhones and your iPads and your iPod Touch collection, and then your Macs, and pool them together into a database where you can manage the settings for all these devices, where you can keep track of what versions of operating systems are running. You can track devices. You can remotely wipe them if they're lost or stolen. And then if you have other people's devices that you're managing, like say if you're in a small business or you're doing this for your family because that's just kind of how things work out for you, you have all their settings preset in Bushel. So an example I've been tossing out is that my dad sometimes has problems with his email. And I just have to push his email settings back out to his iPhone. And then, hey, email is working again, just like that. And I don't have to hop in the car and drive the 45 minutes over to his place and sit down and re-enter all the settings while my mom says, you know, Jeff told you not to mess with those. And so it saves me a headache, and it helps Dad save face because he doesn't have to listen to Mom call him out. But enough about my family. The deal here is Bushel is really great and has made my life so much easier managing all the different devices that I need to keep track of just for what I do and then for my family as well. And it's inexpensive and easy to use, which means if you're in a position at, say, a small business and you suddenly find the IT needs for that company have been dropped in your lap and you need to keep track of and manage and just wrangle in all the iPhones and iPads that are being used in the business, Bushel is a great way to do that because you don't need any crazy training. You don't need to have a degree. You don't need to be an IT pro. You just need to be comfortable using a web browser. And it's easy. It's also really inexpensive. You get 3 devices for free, and then any device after that is $2 a month. So even if you have, say, like 5 devices that you need to manage, you're still only talking about $4 a month to be able to have really professional level, serious control over all your devices. Really cheap. I mean, what is that? Like 1 Starbucks drink a day? Equivalent of that? Just awesome. Anyhow, what you need to do is hit their website. It's bushel.com/TDO. 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 Sign up for your account. You can manage your first 3 devices for free forever. And then any additional devices after that, only $2 a month. And you're set. Totally good to go. So Bushel, thank you so much for being our sponsor this week. That absolutely rocks, and we really are out of time, so I have to wrap us up now. John, thank you for being here and bringing your contrary opinions.
You're very welcome, and there's this nice mark on the whiteboard for Brian, too, so thank you, Brian.
As always, but I salute you, sir, for always presenting your arguments, even when they're wrong, in an excellent manner.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and Brian, thank you for being here. And you, sir, are always a gentleman, even when you're pointing out when John's wrong.
No, I'm not.
See what I'm doing here?
John is the best. Is the best of us all.
Yes, he absolutely is. But what I'm doing is encouraging you.
Gushing here.
Encouraging you, I'm actually doing is reinforcing bad behavior. because I'm just horrible like that.
Yeah, you are.
And you're right. John is the consummate gentleman. Listeners, thank you for joining us. And I'm really curious. Do you think John is right or wrong on this? Shoot me messages on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. Via email, that would be observations@macobserver.com. And of course, you can leave comments in the show notes. I'm going to check those because I'm curious what you think. Thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again next week.